We open God's Word this morning and we are going to read from the Gospel of Luke. The text is from Luke 19. I'd like to start reading a little bit earlier than that from chapter 18. So if you could open your Bible at Luke 18, verse 35, we'll start reading there. Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 35. Hear the word of God. As he, the Lord Jesus, drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, who, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now we come to our text passage for this morning. The Lord entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an exciting day for the people of Jericho. The famous Jesus was coming to town. Just outside the city, Jesus had performed an amazing miracle that morning, by healing a man who was blind, who was always sitting there by the roadside, begging for food. The man had cried out to Jesus. Jesus heard his voice, asked him to come, asked him what he wanted. The man asked, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you. Recover your sight." And the man was now following Jesus, glorifying God. And it says in the last verse of chapter 18, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What an exciting event already that morning. And then in chapter 19, we read, he entered Jericho and was passing through. He was passing through. He was on his way somewhere. Where was the Lord going? Well, it is the last stage of his life. The Lord himself knows very well what is going to happen. Later, not much later, he is going to be in Jerusalem. And while now he experiences exultation and enthusiasm from the side of the people, everybody is happy with him, he knows that it's going to be different very soon. The people of Israel are going to reject him, hand him over to the Gentiles, and he must be crucified. He knows it. How do we know that he knows it? Well, we didn't read that part, but also in chapter 18, a little bit before what we read, he had told his disciples for the third time, chapter 18, 31 and following, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him. But on the third day, he will rise." And then it says, "But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." But Jesus himself, he knew what was going to happen. He knew that enthusiasm and joy and exultation was soon going to change, and that he was going to be executed, crucified on the third day. And he wanted to do it, brothers and sisters. He aimed to do that. It was the work that the Father in heaven had given him to do for his people, to die for their sins, and then to be raised from the dead in order that they would receive full salvation. That must have been on the Lord's mind as he entered Jericho, and as these people were all so happy with him and what he had done for the blind man, and as he was passing through. Now, it's interesting that the Lord seems to have a special eye, or maybe an ear, for people who have a hard time getting through to him. We saw it with the blind man. He was sitting there on the roadside. He had to cry out, "Son of David, listen to me, have mercy on me." And the people were trying to keep quiet. But he cried out even harder, and Jesus heard that one voice and listened to him. Earlier, also in chapter 18, we have the story of the children, the mothers who wanted to bring their children to Jesus. And the disciples were trying to stop them. "No, no, no, the master doesn't have time for you guys. Go home." But Jesus said, "No, no, let the children come to me." And he blessed them. Jesus seems to have a special eye or ear for those people who have a hard time getting through to him. And here we have another man in this story this morning. He, how shall we say that? Does he have a hard time getting through, or is he hesitant to get through to Jesus? The man in this story, his name is Zacchaeus. I think the children know about him. Zacchaeus, what is that song again? About a wee little man or something? Zacchaeus. There was a man named Zacchaeus in town. He was a chief tax collector, it says, and he was rich. So he was an important man in the city. He was well known, but not well liked. In today's language, we might say something like he was a director of the tax agency for the government. And in those days, the government, it was the Romans. People of Israel were under the Romans. So they had to pay taxes to the Romans, and the tax collectors were seen as people who work for the Romans, and they are taking our money. And not just that, many tax collectors were also corrupt. So instead of just taking from you what you had to pay officially, they added something more, which they kept for themselves. So tax collectors were not popular at all. They were seen as corrupt. They were seen as sinners. And Zacchaeus had done well over the years. He had made promotion. He was a chief tax collector. He was the highest guy in the city. And he was rich. He had a beautiful home and lots of stuff. So, yeah, you get the picture. Zacchaeus, he was, and on one hand, you could say he was people looked up to him, an important man, a rich man. At the same time, they didn't like him at all. They hated him because he was a tax collector. He was despised. Now, the interesting thing here about this man is that we read in verse 3, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see Jesus. What does that mean? How do we interpret that? Is that just curiosity? Or is there a real interest? We read sometimes in the Bible about people who wanted to see Jesus. There is, for example, King Herod, the same king who had John the Baptist beheaded. You know that story. He also, when he heard about Jesus, it says he wanted to see Jesus, but not because he was interested in the teaching of Jesus, but he was really afraid that this Jesus was perhaps John the Baptist, a reincarnation of him. But somewhere else in the Bible, we read, I think in the Gospel of John, that there were people who came to one of the disciples, Philip, and they really wanted to see Jesus. And those people were serious. They wanted to meet Jesus and listen to him and see him because they were looking for salvation. So what is the matter here with Zacchaeus, we might ask? Is he just curious? Or is there more to it? Well, let's see how Luke describes it. First thing, he is a tax collector. He must have heard about Jesus because he wants to see him. He must have heard about Jesus' work, his teachings, his miracles, the amazing things that Jesus was able to do, even raising people from the dead. He must have heard that one of the disciples of Jesus was or had been a tax collector. One of the 12 had been a tax collector. And I'm sure that must have spoken to Zacchaeus. Wow, a former tax collector, now one of Jesus' disciples. That's interesting. What we also read is that on account of the crowd, he could not see who Jesus was, because he was small in stature. He was a short man. He was thinking, I want to see Jesus, but it's going to be hard for me to see him. So what shall I do? And then you read this. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he knew that Jesus was going to pass by there. Now, that's quite something. As I said earlier, this man was a very important man in the city, like the CEO of a company or something. This man is running ahead, it says. Can you imagine a CEO of a company running ahead in the street and then climbing a tree? That's a bit out of character. That's something I heard in someone else's sermon. He said, this is really out of character. Can you imagine one of the brothers here, one of the important brothers in the church, after church, climbing into a tree because he wants to see something? That's a bit odd. So here you have an important man in the city, like a CEO of a powerful company. He's running through the street, and he climbs into a tree because he wants to see Jesus so much. The way Luke tells us this story suggests to us that there is more than just a bit of curiosity on the part of Zacchaeus. He really wants to see Jesus, even if it takes climbing up into a tree. He will do anything. He wants to see Jesus. Maybe there is also, but now I'm speculating, I'm not sure about what I'm going to say next. Maybe there is also a bit of hesitation on his side. He is not pushing his way forward. It's not that he wants to be first in line, perhaps shake Jesus' hands. No, not that. He wants to see him, but at a safe distance. That's how I interpret it. Anyway, the way Luke tells the story, Zacchaeus really wants to see Jesus. And what we can say then is that the Lord has already been at work in this man's life. The Lord often does that. And the Lord has to do that because we look at yourself. Who of us would have sought the Lord from ourselves? In the Bible, we read that in the gospel, in the letter to the Romans. Nobody is looking for God. No one. So when you have someone who is so eager to look for Jesus, like Zacchaeus in the story, it means that there has been some preparatory work already. The Spirit has already been at work in the life of Zacchaeus. He's heard certain things about Jesus, about his teaching, about his miracles, and something has happened in his heart and in his mind, and he's thinking, yeah, I need to see that man. Perhaps Zacchaeus has already come to the conclusion that even though he is so rich, he hasn't found true happiness. Maybe Zacchaeus has already come to the realization that, yeah, I've become rich, but I haven't always used good strategies. I haven't been just in how I got all my riches. Anyway, whatever is going on in his heart, we can say that the Lord has already done some preparatory work. And I think we often see that if you apply it to your own life, or if you hear stories about what happens on a mission field. I can testify to that myself. I have been a missionary, and I've had it so often that someone would come to listen to the gospel and come to faith, and then you ask about that person's life, what all happened before, and then you start to hear things. Yeah, well, I came to your church, and here I came to faith, but actually, I had already heard this and that about the gospel. And when I was a young child, I had a grandmother, and she took me to Sunday school, and that always stayed with me. Things like that. The Lord works in people's hearts. And sometimes he plants seeds when people are very young, and those seeds come to fruition much later in their life. And that's when they hear the gospel, that's when they meet Jesus Christ, and that's when they come to faith. That's also why it is so important, parents, to plant those seeds in the hearts of your children right now, so that the Lord can bless that and make those seeds grow into faith later on. So, that's the first part about Zacchaeus. But actually, of course, the sermon is not about Zacchaeus, but about what the Lord is doing with Zacchaeus. So let's focus on what happens there. Zacchaeus now is in the tree. He's up there and behind the leaves. He thinks he's okay there. Nobody can see him, but he can see everything. And then verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Can just stop there. I think this was not just one tree along the street. There were probably many trees, and maybe people looking down from buildings. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. But there is this one tree. Zacchaeus is in that tree, and the Lord stops there. Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. Isn't that remarkable? How did Jesus know that Zacchaeus was in the tree? How did he even know his name? As I said, there were probably more trees or more people in trees. But Jesus stops at this one, and he looks up, and he knows that Zacchaeus is there, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, hurry, for I must stay in your house today. It's another testimony, actually, that we are saved by God's initiative. It does happen that people are trying to find God. Yes, thankfully there are people who are trying to see Jesus, to find Jesus. But as I said earlier, that means that God has already been at work in their lives. But now Jesus says, this is the time. I need to talk to this man. This man needs salvation. And apply this to yourself. God is in the process with each one of us. You have heard the gospel before. and you have grown to a certain level of understanding and hopefully a level of faith. But the Lord started with you, and the Lord is still working with you. And maybe there is someone listening via live stream today. For whatever reason, he just thought, okay, I'm gonna listen to this service, whatever. And maybe the Lord has been working in that person's life, and today could be the time that this person, for the first time, clearly understands who Jesus Christ is. It could be. And many of you have already understood who Jesus Christ is, and you still need to grow further and know him better. What I'm saying is, Jesus, like he is looking for Zacchaeus, he's looking for each one of us. Thinking of the children in the congregation here. So nice to see many young children. And you know, you don't remember, but your parents have told you that you were baptized some years ago. Maybe even in this church, you were baptized. You didn't know what was happening, but the Lord called out your name in the midst of the congregation. And he said, you belong to me. And he has remembered his promises to you. He wants you to be his child. He wants Jesus to be your Savior. He wants the Holy Spirit to live in your heart. He wants to be part of your life. That's what he said, and that's what the Lord is still working on, even today. As you listen to this sermon, and every Sunday as you come to church, and every day as you pray and read your Bible, the Lord wants to give you salvation. I'm thinking of the things we heard in the prayer, and Brother Port was praying. Someone passed away. A child passed away. Someone else going for medical treatment. We are all seeking Jesus, but Jesus has been in our life already. The Lord has had his eyes on us. And what I'd like you to notice is how much the Lord wants to be part of our lives. Listen again to what he said to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I need to talk to you for a minute. Is that what he said? Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Note the word must. I have to. Must happen. As the power of election here. God has chosen this man who, with all his background and his sins, and that he is not well liked among God's people, God has chosen this man. He is lost. He needs salvation. I must stay. Notice the word stay. Earlier we heard that the Lord is passing through. He's on his way somewhere. He doesn't want to waste time. He's on the way to the cross, but he said, I must stay in your house today. So he wants to spend a good chunk of time with this man, in his house, with his family. Maybe even spend the night and continue tomorrow morning. The Lord wants to bring this man the gospel. The Lord wants this man to receive salvation. That's how the Lord works and wants to work in each one of your lives, brothers and sisters. He has called you. You're here today. He calls you every Sunday. Come and listen to him, because Jesus wants to be part of your life. So what does Zacchaeus do? He's happy. He hurried, came down, received him joyfully. Now, there are people who don't like this. We read it in verse 7. When they saw it, the people, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And perhaps some of us also wonder a bit about Zacchaeus. You know, I'm a teaching at the seminary in Hamilton. A while ago, we were talking about this text, and one of the students said, "Yeah, you know, I miss something in Zacchaeus. It says that he comes out of the tree, he comes down, and he receives the Lord joyfully. Is that right? Shouldn't he have been more humble? Shouldn't he have shown some remorse about his sins?" He said, when you think of Simon Peter in Luke chapter 5, he fell down before the Lord and he said, "Lord, please go away from me because I am a sinner." Shouldn't Zacchaeus have done that? Shouldn't he have shown some remorse and say, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. I'm a sinner." But what you see is Zacchaeus says, "Oh, that's great. Come to my house." No, the student said, "Zacchaeus, you can see that he doesn't have a good awareness of his sinfulness yet." Well, that's the way the people of Jericho responded. They all grumbled and said, "Jesus should not have gone there. That man is a sinner." Was there nobody else in Jericho where Jesus could have gone? But brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. The Lord does not visit and come into people's life because they are okay or good or better than others or less sinful. The Lord says it himself at the end, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So the Lord wants to spend time with Zacchaeus because he is lost. He needs salvation. And things are going to change, we'll see that. But the Lord's decision to go to Zacchaeus and his house was not based on that he had more value than other people or that he was more worthy. Jesus comes into your life. Why? Ultimately, the answer is because the Lord has loved you. Because we do not bring anything to make us worthy to receive Jesus in our home or in our life. Many of you, I'm sure, know the song Rock of Ages, beautiful hymn. There's this line in there, "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling." That's it. "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling." That's Zacchaeus. He wasn't worthy to have Jesus in his home, but he needed Jesus and he wanted Jesus, and Jesus came into his life. Jesus and his disciples went to stay at Zacchaeus' house on that day. Must have been, as I said earlier, a nice house. He was a rich man. I guess his wife was there, maybe his children, maybe some colleagues, maybe some relatives. And he would have loved to hear, of course, what the Lord said to him. What did he talk about? Did the Lord reprimand him for being a tax collector, for his corrupt things that he had done, or not? Or did the Lord tell him about who he was and that he was on the way to Jerusalem, like he had told his disciples, "I'm going to be killed and then to be raised again"? We don't know what the Lord said, but we do know the outcome. We hear it from both Zacchaeus and the Lord, because in verse 8 it says, "Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.'" Well, that is quite something, to give away half of your goods to the poor. That is a sign of true change, a sign of true repentance. And to promise to make restitution to everybody you have defrauded out of something, fourfold, which is also an Old Testament guideline. Zacchaeus knew the scriptures. That is quite something. It was in the laws of Moses, but who would ever do that? But Zacchaeus says, "I will do that." So that's Zacchaeus' testimony. "That's what I will do. My life has changed." And then the Lord Jesus, he adds to that and he says, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham." What a beautiful statement that must have been to the ears of Zacchaeus. You know, he was an important man, but people didn't like him. Many people would say, yeah, he's one of us, but you know, he's not a true Israelite. He works for the Romans. He's corrupt too. He's a sinner. He's not a true son of Abraham. And now Jesus says, this man, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to his house, and he is a son of Abraham. Now, when the great son of Abraham says it himself, it must be true. This man is a true son of Abraham. And who is a son of Abraham? You know it. Those who believe in the Lord. Those are the true children of Abraham. You and me, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a true child of Abraham. And it will come through in the way you live, repentance and faith. It will be confirmed by your works. Now, again, some of us might be tempted to have doubts about Zacchaeus and his conversion. Again, that student I referred to said, yeah, you know, Zacchaeus, he stands and he says, I'm going to give away half of my money to the poor and I will do restitution 4 times to anybody that I defrauded. It's easy to say that, but is he going to do it? It's going to be difficult for him tomorrow when Jesus is gone. Is he really going to give away half of his money to the poor? So the question is this true repentance? Did this man truly come to faith in Jesus? Well, we can say 2 things about this. First, we have the statement of the Lord himself. The Lord, the Son of God, the Son of David, he said that today salvation has come to this house since he is also a son of Abraham. The Lord knows that what happened in Zacchaeus' heart today, it's not fake. It is not fake news. It is real. This man believes that Jesus Christ is his Savior. He believes in God and he wants to live a righteous life. Honestly, he will still be a sinner, but a righteous sinner, justified, being sanctified. And second, yes, we could say, yes, it will be difficult, for Zacchaeus to follow off through on his promises. For any one of us, as Christians, it is not easy to live a life of daily repentance, and we fail. And no doubt, Zacchaeus is going to run into problems. Maybe he wants to make something right with someone he has defrauded, and maybe it will not go so well. Maybe the person is still angry with him and says, go away, don't want to see you. Zacchaeus, no doubt, is going to be confronted with the reality that sometimes we sin, and we do something awful, and there are consequences that cannot always be undone. The sins of my youth, I wish I hadn't done this, or I wish I hadn't done that. And it caused some damage, and I wish it never happened, but it did happen, and it did cause damage. So those things are realities. As those of you who have lived for a little longer, we all know that. So that's going to be a reality in Zacchaeus' life as well. But still, this man has found salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. He has found forgiveness of his sins. He knows that he is accepted to be a real child of God, even as a tax collector, and he doesn't need to leave his job. Jesus doesn't tell him, okay, stop being a tax collector, you come with me. No, Jesus leaves him there. You be a tax collector, but be an honest tax collector. Don't defraud people anymore. Put your faith in God, repent from your sins, and live a life that is pleasing to God. What a beautiful statement. This man is a true son of Abraham. So one last question, brothers and sisters. How comfortable would you be to receive the Lord in your house? If I told you after the service, Jesus is coming to your house, what would you say? You say, oh, fantastic. Or would you say, oh boy, it's such a mess in my house? Would you be comfortable in having Jesus over just for an hour? Like you have the elders over for a home visit, you have them for an hour, and okay, then next year again. Would you be comfortable in having Jesus over for a whole day, sleeping over at your house and continuing next morning? Then he's going to see so much of your life. Are you comfortable with that? Sometimes you visit someone in their home and they say, welcome, but please don't look at the mess here. You look around, there is no mess at all, but okay, that's what mothers often say. Well, the message of this text is that the Lord actually came to see your mess and your need and to bring salvation into that. It is actually the reason why he came. Verse 10, for the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus said, came to seek the lost and to save them. He comes looking for you, and he wants to bring salvation into your life. He doesn't say, I came to judge. He will come to judge on the last day. But for now, the Lord wants to come into your house, into your life, and my life, and he's seeking you, and he wants to bring salvation. So he looks at you with those eyes that, yeah, I know what's going on, Zacchaeus. I know how you became rich. But you need salvation, Zacchaeus. So you can put in your name there. Yeah, I know you, so-and-so. I know what's going on. I know what happened here and there and at that point. And when the Lord is in your home, he knows, he can see what you're doing. Would you be comfortable having the Lord Jesus sitting next to you as you are working on your computer, playing on your computer? Would you be comfortable having him in the room when you talk to your wife, talk to your husband, talk to your parents or your siblings? Maybe not. Maybe you will not be comfortable, but Jesus still wants to be there, and he says, I know what's going on. That's why I came, and I want to bring salvation into your life. So I would say, every one of you, whatever your situation is, also those of you who are going to grief at this point in time for various reasons, welcome Jesus in your home, submit to him, ask him to be the Lord of your life, to govern you by his word and also by the Holy Spirit, whom he has promised to give you everything you need for whatever task he has given you, to raise your children, to love your husband, to love your wife, to do your daily work, to function in the church, whatever it is. Ask him to bring that salvation into your life, and you will see amazing things happening. Zacchaeus is a testimony. The Lord brought him to a certain stage, and he was ready to hear the gospel and to receive Jesus, and then all of a sudden that momentous change happened. So our life, sometimes we grow slowly, and then all of a sudden there is a big change, and then we grow slowly from there again. Everybody, we all have our own walk with the Lord, and the Lord has his individual plan for each one of us. But remember this, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek you and me, and to give, to bring salvation into your life. Amen. Let us pray and give thanks. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent your Son into the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you that he is like us, that he understands us. We thank you that he knows us. He knows everything about us, also our secret sins, also our failings, also our public sins. He knows how we feel about ourselves. And we thank you that you come to us as we are sitting here, that you want each one of us here in this building and also those who are listening via live stream, that you want to be involved in the life of each one of us, in our various specific situations, and that you want to bring salvation through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit who was poured out on the day of Pentecost. We thank you for this privilege, and we pray that we may be like Zacchaeus in that we seek Jesus, that he would be in our life, that we would realize that without him there is no life at all. So please prepare our hearts and work in our hearts and make us ready to receive Jesus more and more into our life, and work in us a desire to be followers of Christ, who have faith in Christ and who desire to be more and more like him as well. And may this be what gives us strength for today, for whatever needs we need to do today and for tomorrow, and for the week that is ahead of us. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.